So today is April 25th, year of our Lord 2010, and we're going to talk about our first quarter missions and budgets report. And my wife said, do you really want that many commas? Missions. What is it? I have a cool video called The Music Box, and this guy says, what is it? But what is missions? Really? You know, we talk about missions and we talk about budgets and we had a World Mission Fellowship here yesterday. What's it all about? As we seek to answer that question, grab your Bible and we're going to look at some of the verses in Luke that we've been reading as we're reading through the Bible together. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 27. So open your Bibles, and do your Bibles in the pew, do they have red and black print in them, or it's just all black? Okay, so I'll tell you where the red stuff starts then. Look with me at verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Then at verse 12, it says, he said, and then it begins red letters, Jesus' verbal account. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. Now, who's this king that he's talking about? Himself. He's actually saying, I'm going to go away and be inaugurated as king of the universe. And it's not the physical kingdom you're talking about, but I'm going away and I'm going to do that. So then it goes on to say in verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, and I'll come back. But the subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to be our king. Now who are these people in the parable? The Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees who didn't want him. And they actually succeeded in, they thought, killing him. Which really didn't work so well because he only laid down and rested for 3 days. And then he got up, went back to work. Verse 15, he was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. First one came to him and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. So who did he give the money to? Servants. That these are members of the kingdom, right? They're not foreigners, they're not aliens, they're not unbelievers, they're kingdom people, right? They're servants. They're in the family. Verse 17, well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy over a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, take charge of 5 cities. Verse 20, then another servant came and said, sir, your mina, I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words. You wicked servant, you knew, did you, that I was a hard man, taking what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected at least interest? Then he said to those standing by, take the mina away from him and give it to one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. So, what is the point of this parable? What's the point of the parable? In my Bible, I have to turn to the next page to get to it. But look at with me the next two verses. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. Okay, there's a point. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away from him. But those enemies of mine who did not want to be king, me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Ladies and gentlemen, the king is coming. The king is coming. He's coming back. Now, the point of the parable is he gave each one of us an amazing gift if we've been born again. If we haven't been born again, that's the thing that you should seek so you become one of the servants, one of the members of the kingdom. But the fact of the matter is, when he comes back, he's going to want to know what you did with what he gave you. Now, some of us are amazingly able to generate huge things with what he's given us. You know, I was talking yesterday about sitting in my Bill Hybels church chair. And going to Bill Hybels church is just like Avatar. I mean, it's just an unreal world as far as church goes. Bill's done a really nice job. And the odds are that he's going to get at least 10 cities when the Lord comes back, right? Some of us haven't really produced that well. But still, whatever we have, we need to be putting to service, right? I think that's the point of the parable. So, who is Jesus speaking to? Is he just speaking to those people that were there? Or is he speaking to you and I now? It's you and I now as much or maybe more than them there. So, what are you going to do with this? Was he just talking about money? No. Money's a part of it. But actually, it's a small part. But it's a part of it. Now, look with me at Luke chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 26. It begins with, keeping close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch him in something and said, he said, so that they might hand him over to the power of the authorities of the governor. So the spies questioned him, Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Verse 23. He saw them through their duplicity and said to them, it says red letters, show me a denarius. Whose inscription is on it? Verse 25. Caesar's, they replied. Then he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is God's. They were unable to trap him in what he said there in public, and astonished by the answer he gave, and they became silent. So, what's Caesar's and what's God's? What's Caesar's? Yeah, I mean, if it's got Grant's picture on it, it's got Lincoln's picture on it, it's got Washington's, I'm more familiar with Washington than Grant, you know. But, yeah. Is it right to pay taxes? We just survived April 15th, right? Is it right to pay taxes? Sure. Pay what you owe. Don't pay more than what you owe. Don't be afraid of the IRS, you know. But do what you're supposed to do. So, Jesus is speaking here. What's the point of this conversation? The point of the conversation is, there really is a difference between what you're supposed to give to the government and what you're supposed to give to God. And God wants your heart, your life, your passion, your compulsion, and the government just basically wants your money and they'll spend all of it you give and more. So who's he speaking to here? Is he just speaking to the people there or is he speaking to you and I too? You and I too, he really wants our heart to be in line with his mission. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what he's saying here? Is he just talking about money when he's talking about paying to God what's God's? Duplicity. Yeah, two-faced. That's a good one. You know, how sometimes people will say one thing nice to your face, and as soon as they get to your coworkers, then you say what? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's duplicity. Right? Being dishonest. You act like one thing. And isn't it amazing that when they come to him, we know you're from God. We know you're speaking the truth. And yet, we're trying to catch you. Now, isn't that stupid? You know somebody's God. You know they know the truth. And you think you're going to outsmart God? But you know what? We do all that in our own lives, don't we? Yeah, some of us do it every day. Now, look with me at Luke chapter 18. So flip a little bit to the left, to Luke chapter 18. And let's look at Luke chapter 18. Let's begin at verse 18. And it says this: A certain rich ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Inherit? Is that what it says? No. When you think about inheritance, who gets inheritance? The children. Yeah, but how do you inherit the kingdom of God? Isn't that an interesting thing? How do I get in on the inheritance of the kingdom? Yeah, you got to get into the family. You got to get adopted. And what's really cool about being adopted is they can't disown you. Once they sign those papers, now your biological kids, you can cut them out of the will. But for those of you back there that are adopted, you're in. You're in, girl. They can't cut you out of the will because they adopted you. So you want to be adopted because even if you mess up really bad, you're still in. Right? Jesus being the only biological kid, but he did real well. Okay, so look on with me. I got distracted there by inherit. Verse 19. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. How well are you doing at those things? You know, you yourself. How well are you doing this no adultery thing? Do you ever find yourself distracted by looking at the opposite sex and think, maybe that would be interesting? You ever find yourself with that problem? How about murdering? Do you ever get angry and yell at anybody? Same thing. Raka, whatever raka is, Jesus said. If you get angry and yell raka at them, so. You ever struggle with that? Don't steal. Oh, come on. Don't give false testimony. Don't do the duplicity thing. Don't. And honor your father and mother all the days of your life. How well are you doing? I don't do so well at all of those things. But what about this guy? All these things I've kept since I was a boy, he said. Ka-chow. Then verse 22. When Jesus heard what he said, you still lack one thing. Sell some of the things that you own and give it to the poor. Is that what it? Sell a portion of what you've. What does it say? Sell it all. Sell out. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then you'll be able to have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. It's what I've been talking about the last couple. It's talking about giving it up, giving it forward, paying it forward, giving it up to God. The only reason is that love would make you do it. If you fell in love with God and you loved him more, it'd be easy. You know, I expected some flack from my wife when I came to her, you know, 20-some years ago and said, I think God wants me to stop trying to make money and start trying to make disciples. Would it be okay with you if we end up broke and homeless and without anything because of what Jesus had done for us? I really think that's what I want to do. She said, okay. Okay. I expected more flack than that. But okay. And why? It's because he had done so much for us. We loved him so much. It seemed easy. Not hard. Well, that's just stuff. I asked my daughter to order a necklace for Julie for her birthday. She wanted a simple necklace with just a diamond on it. Not a big... She had one with three little things on it. I don't even want it this complicated. I want a white diamond on a gold chain. And I want it to be durable enough that it doesn't fall apart right away. And so my daughter says, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, you know, what would be really cool is I bought her that black diamond ring in the islands for Christopher's wedding, you know, for a remembrance of that. But she doesn't have anything to wear with it. So it would be really cool if you got her a black diamond on white gold and then a white diamond on yellow gold. And Julie says, I don't care if they're cubic zirconia stuff. It doesn't really have to be a diamond. I just want something simple. And so Monica called me and she says, well, you know, Christopher and I are going to go in and we'll each, you know, ante up like $50. And I said, cool. You guys put in 50 each and then I'll write you a check for whatever the difference is. And Monica says, well, what are you thinking? And I said, well, no more than 900. She says, Dad, that's what? It's only money. Let's spend it on something. I'd like to spend it on your mom. She says, oh, are you serious? I said, okay, 700. I'll put in 7 and you guys put in 100. Well, it ended up, I only had to put in 2. You know, and so when you see Jules with a nice black diamond and then a fake little diamond, you know, that's her birthday present. But my daughter was, what? It's only money. I love her, you know. I'd rather spend it on her than gas or food, you know. Anyway, well, we'll get back to it when we're running out of time. Sell everything, then you'll have treasures in heaven. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this, then who could be saved? Who could be saved? Jesus replied, it's impossible for a man, but it's possible with God. Peter says, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, Peter. No one who has left home, wife, brothers, parents, children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come in eternal life. So, what's the point? What's the point of this conversation? Jesus is going to take care of your needs. Now then, who's he speaking to? When he's talking to the rich people. We're the rich. We watch the farmer plant behind our house, and Debbie says, boy, the tribe that I grew up in, if they saw that, they would not believe it. And I said, how do they plant down there? Well, the husband walks behind the mule and plows, and the wife walks behind him and puts the seeds in the ground and covers them up. And she says, the big farmers down there have an ox instead of a donkey. We're the rich. Now, Jesus says it's easy for us to enter the kingdom of God, right? Because we're rich. We got it made, right? It's like the question, well, I don't know anybody who's done that. It's hard not to trust the riches, isn't it? So what are you going to do about this? Was he just talking about money when he's talking to this guy? Everything is everything. God wants the whole deal. You put it all wide open in your hand, not wrap your fingers tightly around anything, let go of it, see what he wants to do. Okay, here's the last one. Look with me at Luke 22. This was supposed to be a short message so that I could get the budget. Not really doing that well on short. Okay, 1:26. As he looked up, he saw rich people. There they are again. The rich people putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow who put in 2 copper coins. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All the other people gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. So, what's the point of that account? Should we as rich people put money in the offering bag in a little bit? Sure. What's God interested in? We're ending it all up. You know, it's high stakes gambling. It's You're putting everything on one bet. You're going to bet everything you have, everything you will ever have, everything you are, everything you ever hope to be, you ante it all up. Now, are you willing to do that? He's not just talking about your money here, gentlemen, ladies. He's talking about buying into his mission to be witnesses for the kingdom in how you live. And your money will often be a part of that. So here's the missions and budgets for 2010. Our local missions, we give $500 for campers at Camp Adeline. At this time, in our general fund, we're not giving anything to Adeline. And we have $500 we set aside for Vacation Bible School, and we'll be cutting that check soon. So then in World Missions, we support Jana Hubler at $200 a month, $2,400 a year. Miriam Pravakar, we support her. And Debbie Case, we support her. And it's a grand total of World Missions of $7,200. Now, the beautiful family, we gather enough offering to have 2 orphans. And these are presently our 2 that we fund. And we provide all of their needs for the year. Now, both of these happen to come from homes that are infected. Ravi, there, his parents have leprosy. He has leprosy. And how did you pronounce her name again? This cute little girl, I'm going to say it's Kachina, and you have to read it down on the bulletin board. She also has some issues. She's born again and has come to know the Savior through the ministry at Miriam's hostel where she lives. She gets along really well with the kids there. She's a great kid. And Ravi is interested in what the Lord's doing, but he hasn't really become born again yet. He's as tall as I am, and he's only 88 pounds. He weighs half as much as I do. So in local missions, then we give 1,000. In world missions, we give 8,000. So a grand total of $8,200 is what we set aside from our budget to give towards missions. And then we also give to our denomination a love gift. We give them 3.5% of our gross income after we deduct our missions money and our building projects money. So those are the things that we give to. Now here's how we're doing in our expenses so far. Lori has figured we're not going to spend any more money in April, so I can actually give you 4 months, which is a better average. And so far this year, we spent $24,711.20. Now, what we guessed as a finance committee was that we were going to spend $604 a month, which totals up to $24,012. So we're less than $700 off in what we guessed. We're guessing pretty close. If so far this year in your home budget, if you had guessed and you were, you know, 600 and change, you'd be pretty close. So we're living within the budget that we expected But here's the deal. Our average income is only $5,090. And so when you take that times four, it's $20,360. So we're running about $900 a month short to making our budget. And none of us around the missions and budget table were worried about that a bit. We're completely confident that God's going to make it all work by the end of the year. And I have a line-by-line item budget up here on the front. If you want to know everything that we're expecting to spend on, we have projects that we don't have to spend money on if we don't think we have it. But we will not spend money we don't have. And we're not like the federal government where we'll just print more or we'll borrow some from China. But I won't lead you down that path. We're not going to spend more money than we have. So we will adjust things as we go. But right now we're doing pretty close, and we could, you know, ask God for a little more income. So our average income need then is, you know, $6,004 times 12 months is about $72,000 we expect to spend. So when you look at that missions total up there of $7,200, can you understand where I get that? Right? We as a church should be at least tithing. Well, now, Jesus is leading us to give, and quite honestly, Jesus is leading us to give more. Some of you may think this is totally crazy, but because we're running $900 short, I want to lead you in giving more money towards missions, because I think that'll solve the problem. And the other thing is, we have missions money in the bank. We have thousands of dollars in the bank. I think it's like $13,000 in the bank that's designated to give towards missions. So we're going to lead you down the path of giving more to missions. And after yesterday, I think to balance our portfolio out, we should do that more in a local Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea type, something more in a local realm. And I don't know exactly what that is. I've got some ideas, and let me talk to the leadership and I'll bring you back. But we're going to give more to missions. We're going to give more to church. Our church is going to give more to missions. Now, here's the bottom line. What are you going to do? I'm going to lead the church to give more to missions. Are you willing to give your life to the mission? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to become a witness to Jerusalem, where you live, Judea, Whiteside County, Samaria, our country, to the world? Are you, missionaries come from little churches. Miriam Prabhakar, who is doing a magnificent work in India, came from our Rockford church. Jeff said, our best missionary in China is Jana Hubler. She comes from the Rockford church. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to give your life to missions?